Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRags Sports. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow the podcast on Twitter at MittenSportsMI. Search on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And if you want the audio-only version, you can find that on iTunes, Google Play, and the FanRags Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. Want to welcome everyone. I'm going to open up the chat room here. Welcome everybody watching live. Seeing a lot of regulars in here. Today we're going to address the play calling. Jim Harbaugh talked about the play calling. I'll go over some of the player interviews. I talked to everybody but Grant Perry today. We had four players today. And I guess promote an article that I just wrote on FanRag Sports. So it's a regular Monday today. So Justin Green, hey Adam, hey Justin, Cameron Clark, hey Adam, like that hoodie, thanks Cameron. Mike Zabrowski, sack up time, yes Mike, Patrick Kugler. Sometimes you just get those great, great quotes. Patrick Kugler gave me one today. It's time to sack up, it's time to go. Check out that video on my channel. Again, you can like, subscribe, share. More than 800 subscribers, guys, I really appreciate it. It's up like, I think I started the football season like around 400 or something like that. So it was a modest number. Definitely is growing. The show is getting really popular too. All the downloads on iTunes and everything. So really appreciate the support. MIC Book, what's up, Adam? MIC, I saw you join late last time as I was shutting it down. So Justin Green says, Adam is swagging today. Shane Majewski, do you think they should tighten the offense up? Heavy personnel with heavy runs and counters. Chew clock, play to your defense. Shane, easy answer. I guess that would be... I mean, that sounds ideal, right? I mean, it sounds like it's something that would work. Jim Harbaugh today, now I'll get started. Hey, Jeremy Turner. Jim Harbaugh today said, basically, if a play works, then it was a great play call, right? And then we're not even questioning it. If a play doesn't work, it was a bad play call, and then we're questioning it. He said the media has every right to question it. Accidentally hit unmute and that. Anyway, he said the media has every right to question the play calling, but at the same time, he did make it sound like that was kind of the easy thing to do. He was less than, I guess, thorough when it came to answering that. One thing he did say today that caught my attention was that he does have the final say in play calling. So a lot of people, you know, are fire Drevno, fire Pep Hamilton. You know, fire Greg, fire everybody but Don Brown and Jim Harbaugh, basically is what Twitter says to do. And at the end of the day, Jim Harbaugh does have the final say on the play calling. So he told us that today. Matt the Destroyer 2 says, fire Drevno. Matt, Tim Drevno sounds like is innocent, and that's at least in the fact that Jim Harbaugh has the final say. So Zach Bass, do you say it, Bass or Bass? He is clearly just frustrated. And I used that word today. I asked Jim Harbaugh in regard to the defense, kind of carrying the load. Is it frustrating as a coach? Is it frustrating, you know, for the defensive players to see the offense kind of, you know, struggle and the defense have to carry it? And Jim said, no, there's no frustration. And again, I literally just tweeted the article before I went live, so check it out on my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. It's Michigan's defense. Has carried the load long enough. And Zach says, as the fish, bro. So Zach Bass, all right, I got it. Cameron Clark, O-line looks terrible, though. That's on Drevno and Fry. I asked Patrick Kugler about the right side of the offensive line, and I asked him specifically. I said, is the on-field product that we see what we're seeing in, or what you're seeing in practice? Because you have to remember, even though it's not against all ones, it's still going against the number one ranked defense in the country. So I find it hard to believe that the right side, you know, if it's doing so well in practice, why can't it play well, you know, on game day? And I mean, Michigan State had a really good defense. Let's not forget that. Gerald Owens and Kenny Willekes were absolute monsters for the Spartans this past Saturday. So it's difficult to say. There's one thing that Kugler said, and I don't know if I'm reading into it. You got, like I said, check out the video interviews, and you're more than welcome. Please comment, let me know what you think. To me, it sounded like that there may be a change at right tackle even going into this week, because Patrick Kugler said, whoever's playing there, it's next man up. So I don't know if there's a plan in place or if he was just saying that in general terms, referencing when Nolan Eluzio went out the second to last series, or before the, it was actually the third to last series for Michigan in the first half. Juwan played the entire second half and then the final two series of the first half. So I don't know how to take that. That's probably something that if I'm reading into it, or maybe there could be a change. I don't know, but definitely check out that interview. Cameron Clark says, year isn't over. If we beat Penn State, we're a top 10 team again. Cameron, the year is not over. I agree with you on that. I do not see Michigan beating Penn State. And I mean, Indiana is a must win, if you ask me. And I asked Harbaugh if there was an extra premium. And you can see the press conference video on FanRag Sports, Jared Jansen. You'd think I would know his name. He's been my video guy. I've known Jared for quite a few years now. Jared Jansen at JJ Sports Video 15 did a fantastic job. Not only the Michigan State game, his post-game interview got like 20,000 hits, which is, hey, good job, JJ, make plays. But at the same time, he got that video up as soon as the press conference was over today, too. So check that out. Jim Harbaugh kind of going over some things. And I guess the main takeaways are he's not frustrated. The team isn't frustrated. He has the final say in play calling. And as far as a premium put on the Indiana game, he said, well, it's 110% as opposed to 100%. I guess we could have that debate. So check that out again on FanRag Sports for the Jim Harbaugh Monday press conference video. Tatenda Zinyamba. Did I say that right? Tatenda Zinyamba. I know he's not a tackle, but boy, is he built for it. He has a size quickness. He's a great blocker. Who are we talking about here? Guys, I must have missed that. Mike Zabrowski says, too late in season. He didn't show what he needed to in camp. He had his chance. Are you guys talking about John Runyon Jr.? Okay. Runyon to left guard, Ben to left tackle. Well, then where does Justin, where does Mason Cole go? Because, I mean, I think Patrick Kugler's done a pretty good job at center. I mean, to keep Mason at left tackle. I've seen, I mean, people. Okay, Tatenda's talked about Tyrone Wheatley. I know that there's some people, I've gotten some DMs, I've gotten some Twitter comments, hey, plug Cesar Ruiz in there, move on, when you do something. I mean, there are so many, at this point of the season, they've already played five games, or 6 weeks through the season, they've had camp. I mean, I don't think that we're going to see a change unless there's injury, because I have to believe that Michigan has put its best offensive lineman, its best five, combination of best five out there. Obviously, Nolan Eluzio has had some struggles a little bit, so, I mean, that's why we've seen Juwan Bushel-Beede. I mean, we've seen John Runyon get some reps at right guard, too. But at the end of the day, I think that those are the five guys that they got to roll with. If there is a switch and it's because he's struggling, it will be, I believe, at right tackle. But, I mean, other than that, I don't think they're going to move Ben. I don't think. Obviously Mason Cole at left tackle, he's not going anywhere. Patrick Kugler at center, he's not going anywhere. I don't think Mike Onwenu at right guard's going anywhere either. So, Cameron Clark says, got to believe if we go in thinking we're going to lose, we're going to lose. I have confidence we could beat Penn State. Our defense will win us that game. It's at Happy Valley. Penn State's pretty good, Cameron. As an optimistic viewpoint, I'll give you that. I was saying the Penn State game, even the beginning of the season, that was, to me, that'd be a 50-50 game. Now it's, to me, it's more like 70-30 Penn State, just based on what we've seen. Shane Majewski says, not attacking Michigan players, but MSU seems to have more blue-collar kids who are prideful and being overlooked. They just seem to have an edge we can't match for 10 years. And Shane, I agree. And someone made a comment last night, and I think this is perfectly applicable. Michigan State wants it more. Michigan State puts more of an emphasis on the Michigan game. And, going back to years when Michigan State was not a Big Ten contender, they could go 4-8, 5-7, 6-6, even 7-5, and, lose to everybody else and their brother. But as long as they beat Michigan, then it's a successful season. And that was even before D'Antonio got there. I think that Michigan State has done a good job of kind of cultivating that and harboring their internal hatred for Michigan. And it's obviously worked out 8 times in the past 11 years. I mean, Mark D'Antonio's 8-3 against Michigan. Who would have ever thought that when he got hired at Michigan State? Who thought that Mark D'Antonio would go on one of the most dominant runs against Michigan since, I mean, Duffy in the 60s, Duffy Daugherty. So, and we're talking, you know, arguably the greatest coach in Michigan State history, football history. I mean, not arguably, he is. Mark D'Antonio, I mean, if he could win a national championship, he might be in that discussion. But Mark D'Antonio has done wonders for Michigan State's program. And going 8-3 against the Wolverines, I think. And, Shane, as you mentioned, the recruiting, it really, to me, there is a stark difference when you look at who wants it more. And, again, I thought Michigan was going to win this game. And I'm not saying that because Michigan State didn't want it more. I looked at this was there was just too much talent. Michigan had too much talent for Michigan State. That was my thought entering this season. And we look at the 5 turnovers, drop pass by McDume. I predicted 17-14. And, I mean, you get a touchdown on one of those 5 offensive drives that you miffed. Ty Isaac fumble, Chris Evans fumble, 3 interceptions. You get a touchdown on one of those drives and you win. But and Jim Harbaugh mentioned this today in regard to play calling, but this applies across the board. Hindsight's 20/20, right? So on Saturday, Michigan State wanted it more, and I guess 8 out of the past 11 years, Michigan State wanted it more. And you could actually argue the past 11 meetings, Michigan State wanted it more. Michigan just won 3 of those because it had the better team. But as far as desire and will to beat Michigan, I think the Michigan State is much stronger when it comes to this rivalry. Tatunda wants to know, who would you say the team's performance misses more in terms of Fisher Wheatley Sr.? Have you seen what they're both doing at their respective destinations? Jed Fish and Josh Rosen, that's a match made in heaven right there. I guess if you're Jed Fish, you're pretty happy. I think the Wolverines passing game, I mean, it's pretty easy for me to point and say, what's the difference? I mean, even with Wilton Spate in there, I mean, other than the missing three all Big Ten starters on the offensive line and new receivers, but I mean also new passing game coordinator. Would there be this hiccup if Jed Fish was still the passing game coordinator? I don't know. I mean, this likens back to the play calling thing. If the play works, it was a great call. If the play doesn't work, then it was a bad call. You know, I mean, it's impossible to tell, but I do know that Wilton Spate had a great relationship with Jed Fish. Jed Fish was, he knew of John O'Korn. Jed Fish had recruited John O'Korn when Jed was at Miami. John's from Florida, so, I mean, he was already familiar with him. I can't help but think that maybe, you know, that's the difference. And it's easy to say that because Michigan's passing game just hasn't been good. And we're looking at Pep Hamilton, who was supposed to come in and just really take this passing game to the next level. If you thought that, you know, with Jed Fish and what he did with Jake Rudock and what he got going with Wilton Spate in 2016, if you thought that was just the beginning of Michigan's passing offense, and then you throw on Pep Hamilton, and you're like, oh, okay, now something's going to happen. Well, it hasn't, and I don't know why. I think a lot of the problem is the offensive line. Sean Hull says, hard to say that the defense will win us the game. They'll keep us in the game. Michigan's D doesn't really put points up. Michigan's O is going to have to get it going somewhat. Well, I mean, and Sean, I mean, it's not the defense's job to put up points. I mean, the defense has done enough. The defense, I mean, we've seen pick 6 by Tyree Kinnell. We've seen, all kind of Noah Furbush, that fumble recovery for a touchdown against Florida. I mean, I feel like the defense has just done everything and then some. So, Mike Zabrowski says, if Northwestern held Barkley to -1 yard in the first half, Michigan can certainly contain him. And was that an off day for Saquon? I mean, or a really good day for Northwestern? I mean, Saquon Barkley's the truth. There's no doubt about that. Michigan will have problems with Saquon Barkley. I'm pretty confident in saying that. Marcel Wood says, Northwestern held Barkley, so are you saying Michigan can't hold Barkley? I don't know if that's to me or to who, someone else, but Marcel, I'm saying that a game like that, it's kind of comparing apples to oranges a little bit. I mean, yeah, in theory, okay, if Northwestern did it, then Michigan could do it. But again, I mean, was that just a down game for Saquon? Or was it just a, you know, Northwestern's defense at its finest moment? Zach Bass says, have to agree with Sean, have to start making moves. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is if we can't block. We shouldn't have been throwing that much in the rain to begin with. Could have been more with Higdon. And Larry Lage of the Associated Press today asked Jim Harbaugh, you know, if he thought that maybe should have gone to Higdon a little bit more. And that's what kind of incited the, if it worked, it was a great call. If it doesn't work, it was a bad call. Harbaugh said that he'll be evaluating film this week, and I guess, you know, maybe paying a little bit of attention to Karan and seeing. He said that Karan ran well. Patrick Kugler said that they were really comfortable with Karan back there. So, again, guys, it's a damned if you do, damned if you didn't kind of thing. That's just how it goes. Sean Hull says, my defense comment was in regard to Cameron, who said that our defense will win us the game at Penn State. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the defense will keep them in it, but I mean, at the end of the day, if the offense can't score points, then that's just not going to win. I mean, it was down 14-3 at halftime, I believe, in Michigan State. Because Michigan State got its 14 in the first half. Yeah, it was 14-3 at halftime. Michigan's defense didn't allow a touchdown. Michigan's defense allowed just two first downs in the second half by Michigan State, and those were both, I think, on like the final two or three drives, and Michigan's offense still couldn't get anything going. So, I mean, the defense has done more than its share. Zach Bass says, like the question about if there's more that goes into this week. You know there is, but just smart it off when asked. Yeah, thanks, Zach. I have to believe. He did admit a little bit, though, 110% to 100%. So he gave me that. He kind of put up his hands a little bit, and he gave me that. Tatenda says, in regard to Barkley having -1 in the first half against Penn State, they hardly ran him in the first half, mostly using him as a decoy. I didn't see that game, Tatenda. Now you guys got me wanting to watch it. But that's also a good point, too. I mean, usage. Saquon Barkley, there's no debating that. I think Saquon Barkley is the best running back in the country. Cameron Clark says, you were on ESPN after the game. Heard your voice. Oh, okay. I didn't get to see that. If you see the clip, send it to me. Maybe I'll watch it. We are going on 18 minutes, guys. Any questions? Any comments? Alex Bastai. How do I say that, Alex? Seems a lot to me like oftentimes our receivers are never open and don't fight to be open from a corner's perspective. He didn't have time in the pocket, but when he did, there was nowhere to go. And Alex, I'll mention this too. Jim Harbaugh, at least one of those interceptions. Patrick Kugler said those three interceptions weren't John's fault. John O'Korn took full responsibility for him. Patrick Kugler said just straight up today that no, those weren't John's fault. And at least one of them, Jim Harbaugh, I think, agrees, because he said that a receiver was... he thinks that John, basically receiver, ran the wrong route. He, you know, long answer to a, you know, short question. It was basically receiver ran the wrong route. And I think that, you know, that at least one of them in Jim Harbaugh's eyes wasn't on John O'Korn. If you ask Patrick Kugler, all three, you know, were not John's fault. So Frank Lucas says, I think O'Korn played well. I don't think O'Korn was terrible. I'll say that, and you have to remember, I mean, even with John's elusive ability, I mean, it's really hard to escape that kind of pressure. I mean, four sacks, it's just, I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, 16 of 35 for 198 yards, minus those three picks, that probably would have been good enough, and especially given the rain. You know, I talked about this last night in terms of total stats. I mean, 300 yards to 252 in favor of Michigan. Michigan had 17 first downs to 13 first downs. 5 of 17 on third down compared to 2 of 14. I mean, there are stats there, if you look at it minus a score, where you think, okay, Michigan probably should have won this game. And it's a, you know, I loosely compare like with Michigan State and Notre Dame. Stats, there are a lot of statistics in Michigan State's favor. But I think it's four masterfuls. He mentioned too. I mean, you have to factor it. Last night, he's a regular viewer. You guys probably see him in the chat room all the time. He mentioned too. I mean, Michigan State was, you know, getting the three and outs. His defense was playing well. getting short field position. I mean, Michigan State didn't, rack up a ton of stats because, I mean, it helps when you're starting on, Michigan's side of the field, basically. So Frank Lucas says play calling is too dry. Where is the jet sweeps and reverses? I mean, we saw reverse. Frank? Zach Bass says, according to Deason, the first half couldn't agree more. Yeah, I thought John was serviceable in the first half. Chris Carter, Adam, I said on your show Thursday or Friday, MSU was gonna play it like there was national championship, great crowd, but I'm sick with a cold from the rain. Chris, you're right, and I, Michigan, because Michigan State puts more of an emphasis on this game than Michigan does. I think that's clear. Jay Mays too. If we lose to Ohio State, bad. What would you do if you were Ward Manuel at the end of the year in regard to losing against our rivals? I get. Are you trying to suggest that people need to go, Jay Mays? I mean, it's early to say right now. I mean, I think you got to beat Ohio State. I mean, you have to beat rivals. Jim Harbaugh knows that he's 1-2 against Michigan State. He knows that he's 0-2 against Ohio State. Frank Lucas says wide receivers didn't help Okorn either. I mean, Jay Mays, too, to answer your question, I mean, I think if they lose to Ohio State, and if it's an offensive problem, then, I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, Tim Drevno signed a 5-year extension. I don't know the length of Greg Fry's contract, with him being the running game coordinator and tackles coach. I don't imagine Jay Harbaugh going anywhere, running back coach. I mean, would it be Pep Hamilton? And maybe it's Pep, a guy who's making a 1 or 2 year stop anyway, or a 1 year stop. I mean, I think that's something to think about too. Matter of fact, I want to bring up his contract while I'm talking about it. See if I can find it. Because I think it was only a 1 year deal, if I'm not mistaken. He actually got a 4-year deal. I'm sorry, that was my fault. So I mean, all these assistants guys are locked in for a few years. So Chris Carter will not play Nico, but we had Ryan O'Korn. Tatenda says, I feel like the highest paid staff at college football should have been able to mask O'Korn's deficiencies. I see your point, Tatenda, but even at the same time, I mean, Patrick Kugler said they watched the film and the right side of the offensive line wasn't that bad. I don't know. I'm not an offensive lineman, but I'll say this, that all the pressure, John O'Korn had to run to his left, which is not conducive for throwing if you're a right-handed quarterback. You're throwing across your body. At the same time, actually, and I mean, running to your right actually isn't that great either. But my point being is all the pressure came from that right side. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, Kenny Willekes, first, Juwan Bushel-Beatty's first play, Kenny Willekes just beat him. 7-yard sack. Michigan's at its 4-yard line, 3 and out. Tatenda says, what would you want Patrick to say, bro? I mean, Patrick's pretty honest, I think. And you could see the intensity in his face. And I mean, you'd probably read between the lines a little bit with some of his comments. I do think there has to be some level of frustration. And if it's not frustration, it's dissatisfaction or impatience or they're waiting, something. Frank Lucas says, why not put Bredesen on the right side? Then who plays left guard? I mean, the left side's pretty strong. I mean, who do you suggest put play left guard? Are you saying switch Bredesen and then put, Nolan or Juwan at left guard? I don't know. Tyrone Sensi says liberals are okay with killing. Tyrone, what does that have to do with any of this? You guys, we talk about sports in here, okay? Come on. O'Korn's mental clock was off. He was pressured most of the game. Seemed chaotic most drives. He didn't get any protection from up front and was a monsoon too. I mean, I cannot put this loss on John O'Korn. I can't do it. Bucky Mato says Cesar Ruiz or Chuck Filiaga at left guard. They were actually contending on the right side, Bucky. So I mean, if they were going to go in anywhere, I would imagine it'd be on the right side. I think Michigan is locked and loaded. Nothing's going to change from Mason, Ben to Patrick. That's ironclad right there. Mike Zabrowski says, Adam, I'm calling it Michigan beats Penn State, the best defense over the best running back any day. Back in top 10 after that game, mark my words. I like the confidence, Mike. I like it. Robert C., too many drop balls. Yes, that drop ball by Eddie McDoom was detrimental, to say the least. Machine unit, I think the second would have looked a lot, secondary would have looked a lot different if Michigan was at. Come again, machine unit. I think the second would have looked a lot different if second half would have looked a lot different if Michigan wasn't at the mercy of the TV networks and the weather. Frank Lucas, Cole, Michael, Kugler, Bredesen, Beatty, left to right. I don't know. I don't think you moved Ben. Nicholas Lipinski says, how do you think a healthy Spate would have played in these conditions? I mean, and again, that's almost impossible to tell because, for one, it was difficult for everybody to play well. Brian Lewerke did not play well in that second half. Two, I mean, Wilton has more game experience and blah, 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 and all that I know. And I think Wilton is the better quarterback when he's healthy, when he's confident. I think that he was timid. You know, I've talked about that a lot. I mean, it's hard to say, honestly. Because I have to believe that Wilton Spate, like every other quarterback, would have a, you know, difficulty passing the ball. I mean, the rain slows everybody down. The rain screws up your vision. The rain just does all kinds of things. So, I mean, to say, do I think Michigan would have won if Wilton was the quarterback? I mean, I don't know. I can't say that. Zach Bass says, we brought in those two coaches for a lot of money and yet to produce. Can't wait to see how this year plays out. Machine unit, right, it would have been a noon or a 3:30 game, no rain. And a lot of people were saying, but okay, at the same time, I mean, fans wanted this night game, right? Didn't it? Michigan fans wanted this. Michigan State at the Big House, 7:30 kickoff, primetime, ABC. I mean, Michigan, everybody wanted this game, right? Except for us, the writer, because we were like, man, if there's a rain delay, we're not going to. I didn't get home until like 2:40. So it was definitely a long night. But yeah, in terms of that, I mean, I don't know. Again, it's coulda, shoulda, woulda, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, what would have happened if, you know, I chose this instead of that? Or, you know, what would have happened if you ate Captain Crunch this morning instead of Cinnamon Toast Crunch? You know, I don't know. Sean Hole says, no offense is going to look good in a monsoon. Was hoping Michigan had the lead before the storm hit. Tough to come back in those conditions. And that's, I figured it'd be a race to two touchdowns and a field goal, and you got to get it in the first half. Machine unit says, haha, okay, fair enough. Jay Mays, too, after this year John O'Korn leaves, do you think Harbaugh will go after another QB grad transfer until Peters can take the reins? That's interesting because I don't know. I mean, Wilton Spate has three fractured or cracked, Jim Harbaugh used the term cracked, broken, whatever you want to call it. He's got three vertebrae that are a problem. And neck injuries can be neck, spine, vertebrae, can be difficult to come back from. And I'm wondering if next year, if the quarterback competition isn't Dylan and Brandon, where does that leave Wilton? I've long said that it was Wilton Spate's job until he left Michigan, but, I mean, this injury changes things. I mean, I don't know the severity of it, but when you're talking about, you know, being out multiple weeks and it's a vertebrae issue, I have to believe that it's somewhat serious. Frank Lucas says McCaffrey will be a stud in 2 years. Dylan throws a really nice ball. I watched him in warm-ups. I think it was against it's either Cincinnati or Air Force. I was watching him. And Dylan throws a really nice ball. Four Masterfuls. Hey, there you are. There are too many talkers on offense for them to be cohesive. Between Tim, Jim, and Pep, someone has to take a step down on defense. We know Don is the first and final say. Not sure who it is on offense. Four Masterfuls. Jim Harbaugh is the final say. For offensive play calling. He said that today. Bucky Motto, it is safe to say the 16 receivers is worst receiver class in recent memory. Kakoa and Eddie drops and Nate being dismissed. I don't know if it's the worst in recent memory. That's kind of harsh, Buckimoto. I don't know. Buckimoto. Marcel Woods. Wilton is gone and a transfer to look out for Jacob Eason. Harbaugh was after him before he landed Peters. I like the way you think, Marcel. I like it. Harbaugh the GOAT says, Zach Bass, I like Perry, but Crawford shouldn't start. Caused two interceptions this season. Chris Carter, Drevno has to go. MIC book, why no Nico Collins action? I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think that'd make a difference. I mean, they're playing the best wide receivers. You know, it's not like they're putting guys out there and saying, all right, we're going to put you guys out there. We want to see, you know, if you struggle or whatever. We're just putting you out there just for fun. I mean, they're putting them out there because they're the best ones. They're not, I don't think, and this is where you start getting the fan logic a little bit. And it's like, okay, well, the next guy is always the better guy. No, it's the guy that's on the field is the best guy. That's why he's on the field. So why isn't Nico playing? I mean, either he's, you know, hasn't done enough to get on the field. I mean, I'm not sure, but I know why Eddie's playing. I know why Donovan Peoples-Jones is playing, you know, because they're the best receivers right now. I have to wonder, too, if how much the injury to Tariq Black kind of, I don't want to use the term cripple. That's way too harsh. It's got to hold back a little bit. I mean, you're missing what was the best wide receiver weapon prior to his ankle injury. So Harbaugh the GOAT said, Eason would be great, but would we take him when we haven't seen Peters or McCaffrey? And at that point, you would think, okay, would Peters or McCaffrey both stay? So Machine Unit says, what is your opinion on why we haven't seen a good, very good offensive line yet? I thought Tim Drevno was praised for his O-lines at Stanford. At USC, is for Tim, he and Stanford, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I thought last year was pretty good offensive line, but he inherited those guys. So we're getting to the point now where we're going to start seeing, especially after this year, how is Tim Drevno developing offensive linemen? Because right now I'm trying to think, nobody that's starting on the offensive line right now is one of Drevno's guys or Harbaugh guys. Cole, Kugler, or Bredesen is, but Cole, Kugler, those are Hope guys. Juwan Bushel-Beattie, he's a Hope guy. Nolan Aluzio, he's Harbaugh guy. Zach Bass, if our blocking improves and the rest falls in place, one thing at a time. And that's what they keep talking about, kind of small details. They got to clean up things. And it doesn't sound like there's a real sense of urgency, but I don't know if it's kind of just political, you know, political correctness. You know, these guys aren't going to openly come out and criticize teammates like players do in the NFL. But at the same time, I mean, they're human. They feel like the same way, you know, other people do it, I think, about a lot of things. And if I'm a Michigan defensive player, I am a little bit, I don't know, angry? Maybe angry is not the right word. I'm waiting. If I'm a Michigan defensive player, I'm waiting for this offense. Because, I mean, you look at, okay, look at these adverse conditions. They hold Michigan State to 14 points, and they're all in the first half. Two first downs in the second half, no points in the second half, and then the offense turns the ball over five times. I mean, you got to believe that, I mean, Michigan's defense did everything possible to keep that game within reach for the Wolverines. No passes or targets for Gentry against MSU, Jeff Debus. Yeah, Gentry, there was a throw to Gentry. He didn't have a catch, though. Zach Bass says, great point, these are kids, and as we Michigan fans are pretty harsh, but they are legit concerned. And definitely, and Zach, I'm not saying that, look, this is big-time college football. These guys don't need their hands held and say, okay, they're there, and safe space, and they're going to be criticized. I asked David Long about it, about, you know, kind of how Twitter reacts and the knee-jerk reactions. These guys know. They know they have to play better, but I think they're, and I'm not saying you specifically or anybody who's in here, you guys are all pretty sensible. But there's a certain sect of people who just cannot understand that, okay, yes, these are college kids. They're playing football. Yes, it's Michigan football. Yes, it's major college football. It's serious. I get all that. But there's kind of a line of decency. And if you're going to critique the actual play, critique the coaching, critique the play calling, you know, as far as, you know, this guy sucks, this guy's a bum, this guy doesn't belong, blah, 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 I think that's going a little out of bounds there. Harbaugh the GOAT says he thinks they blow Indiana out. Nicholas Lipinski says, assuming nothing changes from now until Saturday, what are your predictions at Indiana? Nicholas, I think you might be new to the podcast. Wednesday night we do the preview. Wednesday I will give my official prediction. Right now I'll say I do think that Michigan wins at Indiana. As far as the score, I want to think about that a little bit. Cameron Clark says he thinks Michigan beats Indiana 33-3. Cameron, you predicted that for Michigan State too, didn't you? I'm just saying. All right, guys, we are at, wow, time flies when you're having fun. Tyrone, come on, stop with this liberal. We don't talk politics in here, Tyrone. I thought you've been in here before. You've talked about sports. Sports only. Michigan State, Big Ten, college football, I mean, whatever else, but we don't, come on, man. Tatenda says he agrees with the other dude. Too many chefs in the kitchen. BWG, very young offensive line, wide receiver core, youngest in the country. Well, I mean, very young offensive line. I mean, Mason and Pat, I mean, Mason's now a four-year starter. Patrick Kugler's a fifth-year senior. Ben Bredesen's a second-year starter. Mike Onwenu, first-year starter. Nolan Aluzio and/or Juwan Bushel-Beatty or John Runyon Jr. would all be first-year starters. Chris Carter says, I agree. You try catching a punt as a freshman in the rain in front of 112,000-plus people. Harbaugh the GOAT says, IU's defense is worse than our offense. We'll see you Saturday. Zach Bass. It's important to beat them fairly big. Need our confidence back up and some positives on offense. Cameron Clark says, I still have confidence in our O. Parth Patel says, the weather had a big part with O'Korn's performance, in my opinion. Everyone is putting all the blame on it. I think so too, Parth. This game was not all on John O'Korn in the least bit. If you're putting this game, this loss, entirely on John O'Korn, then I think that you are a little misguided on that. Tyrone Sensi. What? Sorry, but this baby killing and protesting got to me, bro. Well, I understand it, Tyrone. I appreciate that you're passionate about something, but we're passionate about sports in here, man. Come on. You're killing the vibe. I understand where you're coming from, but I don't talk about politics. I don't talk about religion. I don't talk about any of that stuff on here. I talk about sports, the religion of Jim Harbaugh, and the politics of Mark D'Antonio. How's that for you? All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I have some things to do this afternoon. Tomorrow night, I'll be down there for player availability. Wednesday, Michigan State Basketball Media Day. Michigan Basketball Media Day should be coming up shortly. I'll have all kinds of content this week previewing Indiana. The preview show will be Wednesday night. Check out all the videos. And again, guys, thanks for watching on the YouTube live stream. Please like and subscribe, share, all that stuff. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Follow on Facebook. Just search Sports in the Mitten. And if you want the audio-only version of the podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, the FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, 808 State Street. And I want to congratulate Wes Weber. You guys know Wes. He's not in here today. But Wes correctly predicted. He predicted 13-12 Michigan State. There was one more person who predicted Michigan State to win, but it was over. So Wes wins because Wes was closer and he was under. So he gets a free half steak or a half Philly sandwich or a half chicken sandwich. Hey guys, I do that for every home game, and I'll do some of it during basketball season as well. So send me your score predictions if you want your chance to win free Mr. Spot. So. Again, I'm Adam Biggers, Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com, at FanRag_U. Thanks for watching, and I'll talk to you next time.